Welcome to Winspiration Radio, Growth Principles for Humanity and Progress. Join us when we share information, wisdom, and ideas how to create an extraordinary future for us all. The future is open. We together decide what will be in it. Welcome to another hopefully inspiring episode. Normally when I say be inspired, I'm so sure that everything is really inspiring and winspiring. But the today topic, I hope that it's not too much for you, because we will talk today about the coronavirus and especially about the injuries after vaccination. What is spike protein doing in the body? So it's not about conspiracy theories. I'm interviewing a person which I can say from Germany, one of the few, or maybe the only one, who really understands protein engineering. Dr. Sabine Stäbel really studied, made her PhD in protein engineering. Very, very few people did that. So she has an expertise, what it really means. And the founder and CEO of BioNTech wrote a book and explained what they did. And when she read this book, he said, oh, I guess he doesn't know what he's talking about. And she wrote a book, oh, in German we say, once working with professionals. So, a little bit sarcastic, he says, he is not a professional in protein engineering, but the stuff millions of people got in their body was done by so-called, in this way, non-professionals. And I can say, because I'm German and more close to German, at least there the government accepted that there are already millions of people officially having injury from vaccination, but nobody is really helping them. And it's really tough. Those people who are really in need, sick and losing jobs, losing the money, and nobody is really helping and understanding from the government. Listen carefully. Not easy always to understand. She is very fast and using, as she says, words not everybody understands, because protein engineering, what happens there really, she can't say, I can't talk it in middle class language because it's a very special language we need to understand this. And that's why most politicians didn't understand what they're doing, but maybe also a lot of people in the pharmaceutical industry. And just recently, now this week, one of the big companies who produced the stuff took by themselves, they withdrew it from the market, and the EU said, we are not allowed, or you're not allowed to use it anymore, because now we accept that creates or created a lot of problems. But what and who is really taking care of the people? Listen carefully. And in the end, it's always hope in life if you really take the responsibility and care for yourself. Listen to Dr. Sabine Stäbel. We just recently had a talk in German about her new book. In German is Einmal mit Profis arbeiten. I guess your book is not yet in English. We will just talk about the content a bit. What is the book all about?
So Ugur Sahin, the founder and chief of BioNTech, wrote a book about how he invented and developed the Comirnaty jab. And he described everything in detail, so in the Nachwort in German. He wrote, yeah, we wanted to show a science as exactly as it is possible, to show how science works. And the mainstream media loved that book and how he described his invention. And I started to read it and saw, this guy has no idea about protein engineering. So I did my PhD in protein engineering. I optimized a trimeric protein called a clomiphene called acetyltransferase. It's a thermal stable protein. And it has some parallels to the spike protein. So both proteins are trimers. So they consist of three subunits. And it seems they might both be thermostable. So there is one paper that shows that it might be that the spike protein is even more thermostable than my protein was. So trimeric proteins have some problems. The first thing is the subunits are not fixed. So it's like a dance. They change their partners. So if you are draped with different products, you have a hybrid spike from different subunits. This might be interesting for the immune system. And the subunits, so the trimers can aggregate to two times trimers, so hexamers or nonamers, so three times a trimer. This is known from a Novavax paper. So they did some cryo-electron microscopy, and they saw that the proteins are aggregating to hexamers, nonamers, and trimers. I saw this with my protein. So you can sort these aggregates with a column on the HPLC by size. So I used a Cepheid X200 column, and they come down in three peaks. And if you take one of these peaks, they split up in three peaks. So this is a this is a stable equilibrium. In nature, the spike protein is bound to the envelope of the virus. So it's stable. It's only a trimer and has a certain orientation which is fixed. After the jab, you have free spike, which can build which can aggregate to hybrids. And as I told, hexamers and nonamers. So the antibodies that will be generated to these protein aggregates will be completely different than those that would be generated for the virus. And as we don't know what kind of antibodies are made by the body to these aggregates, we can't look for them because we can't look for something we don't know. So this is one mechanism for autoimmunity because the spike protein is about 80% similar to human proteins.
When you said you read the book and then you had the idea, oh, he's maybe not really knowing what he's talking about. We just want to believe that he is just my little ignorant or doesn't have the knowledge, not the idea that he consciously wrote something what is not true. But why on earth, when he published a book, and the book is, I guess, worldwide, nobody else is really saying, hey, what are you talking about?
There are not many protein engineers. So this was fashionable 20 years ago. So there were some groups in the world trying to optimize proteins because normally you use that in industry to optimize the protein for washing detergent, for example, to follow temperatures or for chemical reactions. So there are molecules which are chiralic, I think it is English. So they have a certain orientation. And if you do the chemical reaction the normal chemical way, you get a mixture. And you have more product in the right orientation if you use enzymes. But the enzymes have to work in the chemical environment of this reaction. So you have to optimize these enzymes. So these are very, very specialized areas where you need to optimize proteins. And the methods you use for that are patented. So I was one, I think I was it was Maxygen in the US, which had a patent on the gene shuffling technology. This meant that industry couldn't use these techniques we used at university. That's why those people who were educated in this area never got a job in that area because these methods weren't used because they were patented. And in Germany, there were two labs, one in Bremen and one in Freiburg, which worked with these methods. The Bremen lab worked with chaperones. And I think they also used one of my protein mutants. And the lab in Freiburg, the Müller lab, and there were three people working on this topic. One is working with BioNTech now, and I don't think he understands what he's doing. Maybe he forgot what he did during his PhD, because otherwise, I don't know why he would work for this company. That's why I think most people don't understand the problem, because protein folding is still not clear how it works. So there were groups working on that 10 years ago, but I haven't seen papers or reviews recently. I don't know if they are now retired, and these areas of science are not active at university at the moment. I don't know how the scene on protein engineering or protein folding is at the moment at universities. I don't think there is much going on, and there are not many people left who did that.
People don't know, and maybe they do something and have the best intention. Because they don't know, then okay, they can't implement the knowledge or whatever thing.
If you don't know that you don't know, how
Yeah.
you should you know? So they don't even know that they don't know.
Yeah, the one part is about also it's like you said, the guy worked there, another PhD, and then oh, how could he forget? I remember obviously the story of Semmelweis, who started to tell his doctors, wash your hands. And they thought he is crazy. And it took nearly 200 years that we understood it, or it makes maybe sense to wash hands and not carry all the bacteria. And now, suddenly, with the corona, we all got the idea. So we need to be. And maybe put some other chemicals on the body, what might be not the best either. But it takes sometimes really time that the truth comes through.
As you said, lots of strange words. So this is a very specialized area of biochemistry, which only few people are specialized in, and it's nothing you normally learn at university. Or you just heard about it in one or two lectures, and most people just don't want to invest that much energy to understand the problem. So I wrote a Substack on that problem. And the first part had quite some readers, but when it got specialized, most people, it was too hard for them. It's really lots of stuff you don't learn at school. So even we don't even know how proteins are produced from RNA. So if you go into the details, you normally learn one codon, so one of these three A, G, T, C, or U in case of mRNA, is one amino acid. And this is encoded by a tRNA, so one codon, one tRNA, which is wrong. It's not one codon, one tRNA. There are some codons which have no tRNA of their own. So they are served by another tRNA. We don't know how and why. And this differs from organism to organism and from organ to organ. Problem number one. Then there are other tRNAs which are called isodecoders. We have no idea what they are doing. Step number one. We don't know how mRNA encodes proteins. Not even on the basic level. Something you don't learn at school, because they lie kind of to make it not so complicated for the students. But then this lie sticks, and then they believe we know how proteins are produced, which is just wrong. We don't even know the basics. And then they start to generate some mRNA, not knowing how this might have other things encoded in another level, like velocity of translation or folding. It's a 3D structure. mRNA isn't like a line, which is how they normally depict it. It's a 3D structure folded in space. And these folds encode information we don't understand.
I can mainly talk about the German, we say, culture, how we worked with it. It was forcing people, even we were at the edge of really, really, really forcing physically everybody to get this injection and the vaccination. But in the contracts with the EU, it says, well, we are not sure if it's working. How can this? So is this more, let's say, besides the problem that they didn't know what they do, maybe in detail, but when the pharmaceutical industry says, well, we need to be protected, how can a government then force people to do? So is it more just a political thing? Is it just a business thing that it was so forced?
Do you read all pages in a contract if you have to sign something? Have read all the pages you sign if you get a new car or whatever contract? There are lots of pages. Nobody reads them in full. Point number one. The next one, they believe in this technology. If you read the book, they believe. And believe isn't rational. They believe it will go the right direction. They believe it will work. They believe they will save the world. And if you don't understand, the only thing left to you is to believe. And most politicians are not biochemists, not geneticists. They maybe don't even have a proper job. So they have no other choice but to believe because they can't know and they can't understand. Those people who help them to understand may not be from the right scientific area. So maybe they have some economic guys to help them
Different
or some from the medical field, but they still don't understand genetics or biochemistry. They also have to believe what they are told. And they are told to believe that the pharmaceutical industry knows what they're doing because there are rules. And they're regulators, so they have to trust. So they trust and believe.
Just let's make a short break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're living in a so-called democracy, and when the EU makes contracts and then the the members of the parliament wants to see the contract. Everything is blacked out. And so after we know now, and just recently from one of the company who produced the stuff, it's in every newspaper that it was not good and could harm people. And officially, also the German government already accepted that people with the injection and vaccination have problems because of it, but nobody really cares.
There was a case yesterday with somebody who had a vaccine injury, which was even accepted by the Krankenkasse or whatever. So he had to prove it's a vaccine injury. And the judge just said, well, I don't care. It still was the less risky to take the jab than to get the virus. So bad luck for you. And he lost the case. So the lawyer then said, which jab did you get? Comirnaty? The judge said, that's none of your business. And the lawyer said, you're out. So this case isn't closed because the judge is, in German, it's befangen. I don't know what's in English. So he took the product himself, so he can't judge on the product. And well, in this case, it was officially sealed that this is a jab injury. And this judge still didn't care. The one taking the decisions doesn't care. There is no justice.
They don't feel it yet. That sounds that you believe everybody is somehow injured. You feel it not yet, but it will come.
So there's this Japanese paper where they put the jab in a PET scan with some sugar metabolism measurement, and they saw that every single one had a measurable defect on the heart. Then there's a Japanese paper showing that even a subclinical myocarditis, you didn't know that you had an injured heart, can kill you even if you're young. Then there are these slow-acting sickness or illnesses, like autoimmune diseases take time to develop. So there are so many similarities between the spike protein and human proteins that it can take a few years to your immune system will start to attack what kind of organ, I don't know. So it could be any organ. The spike protein binds to ACE2. So there are lots of organs having ACE2 receptors. The body can heal a lot, but at some point it will be too much damage. And we don't know when this product will stop producing spike protein. It will stop at some point, but it can take years. We don't know this N1 methylzuridine, how it will act on the protein synthesis in the cell. So it can be incorporated maybe into cellular mRNAs. Then these mRNAs will change their conformation in 3D space. And then the proteins produced by these mRNAs will be different, not working or whatever. So your proteins in the cell will not work anymore. And this will fasten your aging. You will age faster.
What we see all over the world, and it's not just with this corona topic, like we send men to war, people and women too, just soldiers to war. Now people are really injured, have traumas and coming back, and nobody really takes care. I could go in the best restaurants, wonderful service, until I ordered the dessert, the moment I had the dessert, and they don't expect me to order more, service goes down. So is this maybe just simply we're not really interested in dealing with the problems?
Some people don't see the problem, I think, because they are jabbed themselves. So if they face the problem, they have to face, first of all, they did it too. They might die from that problem. And then they have to accept that they did something very stupid.
Yeah.
That's not good for your ego.
Yeah.
You have to be a very strong personality to accept that.
Yeah.
And many politicians might not be that strong. I think that's the problem. You have lots of people who took part in this. It's partly also their fault, so they have to face their sins. when you're a part of an ideology, you don't know that it's an ideology because this ideology is part of you. You only recognize an ideology if you're not part of this ideology. We are the lucky ones. We are not part of the green whatever agenda ideology. So we see the faults of their thinking, but we don't see our own faults.
If there is, kind of saying the main problems or the normal problems which come up, or is it extremely individual?
So there are some basic mechanisms I'm writing about in my Substack. So there's one basic mechanism, which is thrombosis. I now found about, I think, 18 ways these products can lead to a thrombosis of different kinds of thrombosis. So it's not just one kind of thrombosis. There might be three types at the same time. So you will need three different kinds of blood thinners. So some doctors use three different kinds of blood thinners because they can't get rid of these clots. So if you have theoretically 18 mechanisms to generate four types or five types of thrombosis, you get all the sicknesses that are connected to thrombosis. So basics.
You need the kind of like 18 protection ideas?
No, it's just the double-stranded RNA can lead to thrombosis. Mm-hmm. The lipids can lead to thrombosis via the inflammasome. These things were lipid nanoparticles. Nanoparticles generate thrombosis because the size is the same like that of a virus. And it's just the size that leads to thrombosis because it's part of the innate immune system to clump invaders with blood to get rid of them. So if you inject lots of viruses like in the adenovirus virus jabs or lipids, they will be attacked through thrombosis. So you can get all the symptoms which are related to thrombosis, like stroke, tinnitus, brain fogs, circulation is not really working, the lung, there's a thrombosis in the lung, you can die from thrombosis in the heart, you can lose limbs, you have worse oxygen transport in all the body, in all your body. So everything that's whatever, in what kind of way connected to a thrombosis can show up. Another basic mechanism is autoimmunity. So as I told, this is a trimeric protein, which is now free in your blood. So you can generate antibodies, which wouldn't be generated if this was bound to a capsid or the virus itself. Then you have the hexamers and nonamers. So you have lots of strange antibodies that can bind to unpredictable structures. Then you have the classical autoimmune reaction because the cells produce the protein. Parts of the protein are presented on MHC1. They are recognized by T cells and killed. This is a classical mechanism of autoimmunity. Every cell that produces the spike protein will be killed. Unfortunately, the product can end up in the liver. There it's repackaged into exosomes. And the modRNA in the exosome can transfect every cell everywhere in the body. And then if exosome transports mRNA, this mRNA is decoded and the protein produced. That's what exosomes are for. That's what they normally do in the body. So every single cell everywhere in your body can start to produce spike protein and will be killed by T cells. The lipid nanoparticles and the exosomes go through every membrane. So the blood-brain barrier is no barrier. The spike protein can also go through the blood-brain barrier. It can go through the placenta barrier, though there are no limits. So even the fetus can be transfected, the placenta can be transfected, the brain can be transfected. So if some part of your brain is transfected, we can't predict the outcome. It could be schizophrenia, it could be that you just have brain fog because it's a constant inflammation. So the brain cells which produce spike will be attacked. You have a constant inflammation in your brain. Brain inflammation can lead to whatever problems. Your personality can change. There is no limit on symptoms. There is no limit on symptoms through autoimmunity because every cell in your body, everywhere can be transfected over a year, because these exosomes have a half-life of 60 to 80 days.
Now that means, because the recommendation was not one injection, more. So if you get one vaccination, it's a problem. But if you have a second and a third one, logically, it's going
more. Yeah, after the second or third, your immune system switches to another kind of antibodies. They are called IgG4. They induce tolerance, so that the body has learned, if I kill more of my own cells, this will be a really bad idea. So I decide to live longer if I don't attack myself, but the spike will kill me. So it will just go a bit slower while the spike induces thrombosis, inflammations, goes into the nucleus, inhibits P53, generates maybe cancer. So the spike can kill you in very many different ways. So that's why you have so many different sicknesses and illnesses showing up. Another possibility is that we have indications that immune cells are transfected and producing spike themselves. And if stem cells are transfected, you have a problem. So the best thing is to use established protocols, like from FLCCC, which seem to work quite well. So methylene blue hinders the spike protein to bind to ACE2. There is in vitro data for that, and it's used by FLCCC. Methylene blue is easy to get. And so you can protect your ACE2 receptors with a substance, and you get more energy. And it's an easy remedy to dampen down some symptoms. But the thing is, we have to stop the production of the spike protein in the body. This will stop by itself over time, I think, because every gene therapy stopped at some point. But while the protein is produced, it will generate disease or problems.
Yeah.
So you have to clear the spike. So there are also protein protocols for that. For example, the McCullough protocol or FLCCC protocol. It depends on where the protein is hiding. If it's in the exosomes, you have a problem. If it's in the immune cells, you might need Maraviroc, which is an HIV medication to get rid of that spike protein. So it's complicated. We are trying different things. There are no really established protocols. Sometimes it works. For some people, it doesn't.
Just let's make a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Is there a kind of network of doctors who really exchange their information, their observations? You recently talked on a kind of congress in Germany with others to teach doctors or other health professionals how to treat it. But it's not thousands of people are going there. It's just a very small number who really is open and get, have the interest to challenge their old beliefs and learn more.
So there is the Ärzte für Aufklärung, I think, in Germany. Mm-hmm. Walter Weber is in court now for actions like this. So they want to make an example of him.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an organization in Germany where doctors are organized and exchange their experiences. Then there are closed Telegram groups with doctors who exchange their experiences. Then there are these congresses. Well, there are sometimes doctors still not believing what's going on, which are then roughly waked up during this conference. This was quite funny with a cardiologist last weekend. I just showed them literature and what we know about how this protein looks like and how it distributes through the body, and what they didn't tell the EMA, for example, protein corona.
The first step is anyway that they get the awareness and the acceptance that there is a problem. Theoretically, if I look at the world, how different countries treated the problem different, then we should all easily accept, the virus can't be that bad if there are some countries who treated it totally different and they survived.
Yeah, there was this ship, Diamond Princess, with lots of old people on them, and 0.3% died with being confined in one space, most of them old ages. So it was clear from the beginning, this is a normal virus, not deadlier than any virus before it. Ioannidis had papers which showed that. They don't even know how deadly the flu is. So if you go into the flu literature and look for infection fatality rate, then you'll see that they don't know the infection fatality rate of the common flu, because they only know the case fatality rate of those people who end up in hospital and die there.
The media, more from bad news, and you get the people to increase the rate of viewers.
If you look in the old books, so like the Janeway first edition, there you find a chapter which tells you about old experiments from 1933. This guy made experiments and looked if he confronted immune cells with chemicals which are not available in nature, would that generate antibodies? And he learned we can make antibodies against chemicals which are not in nature. He deduced from that our repertoire of antibodies is unlimited. This means even if there is a new virus, it's no problem because we already have the antibodies, because the way antibodies are generated is a stochastical combinatorial way called VDJ recombination. So you have lots of random antibodies. And if there was some alien new virus, there would be some antibody binding through statistical, stochastical reasons. We don't have to care if there is a new virus, just ignore it. If it's the first contact, yes, it might be deadly.
Yeah.
But if a virus infects a cell, you normally have a mixture of viruses because they mutate fast. Those viruses which are less lethal will produce more offspring. The less lethal a virus is, the faster and the better he can generate offspring. The more offspring you have, the higher your chances to survive. Every generation, the least lethal virus will survive and dominate. So the first contact might be more deadly or quite deadly, but with time, the virus will be tame and a normal flu.
A lot of diseases and 50% of the population died. And we focus what happened there, but we have not enough interest in understanding why did the others survive.
The immune system can cope very well with viruses,
mm-hmm.
but bacteria are more problematic because, for example, tuberculosis bacteria have a wax coating. Antibodies can bind to wax. So bacteria are more dangerous than viruses.
Mm-hmm.
But bacteria are much easier to keep in check because they're bigger, they're easier to check. You can't keep a virus under control because there's this so-called virobiome, which is in the air and travels with the winds around the planet. So how do you want to control a virus which travels with the wind?
A lack of, I call it holistic view, like simply what we experience now with kids who were forced to wear the mask, not going to school. The long-term psychological problem we have. So there is also a big problem for society if millions of kids have a trauma.
There's the top-down thinkers and there's the bottom-up thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So top-down means you start from details. That's how school works. You get a detail, you work with the detail without understanding the whole context. And then there are these bottom-up thinkers like me. They prefer the omics approach, so genomics, proteomics. Let's have a look about the raw complex system and then focus on small parts, but don't lose the whole thing out of view. If you don't have a rough overview over the whole system, you don't have to understand the whole immune system. It's impossible with all these interleukins and stuff. But you should have the rough overview of what they told you at school. That's enough to see that some things won't work.
There are a lot of people now, millions of people who got the vaccination. What do you suggest they should do?
First of all, check where your problem is. In Germany, we have a lab where you can send in blood. So we see if we have still spike in the blood or in the exosomes, if the gene is in the immune cells. So we can check where the problem is. I don't know if you have labs in your countries which do that. If you know where the problem is, if it's in the immune cells, I think they use Maraviroc to get them out. If it's in the blood, there is a McCullough protocol. If it's in the cells and the exosomes, it's a problem. Exosomes are really hard to destroy. You have to do constant spike clearance and hope for the best that it stops. Autoimmune disease is a problem. I don't know how to stop that. There's the normal therapy for autoimmune diseases. Use healing mushrooms. There are normal supplements that might also help. But I'm not a doctor. I can't advise you. Most doctors maybe won't help you, so it's trial and error. Try different things. Everybody is different. What works for you might not work for your neighbor.
It's not about here blaming doctors. I was a lawyer and somehow the same thing. After the exam, and I had my sign on the door and had clients. For a while, I thought I know it all and don't need to learn more. And in the Millionaire Spirit book, I recommended if you want to have an advisor, is it health, is it taxes, is it law, look for a kind of 4%. 4% means we have the 20-80 rule. And in general, 80% of every profession is average or below. So we have two parts. One is the patient or client or whatever, feeling the responsibility. I want to take care of myself. Okay, I need some specialists maybe, but I'm still responsible about my life. And
so the easiest way is get the literature. For example, you get the recipe by FLCCC.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these protocols. They also have the literature, I think, referenced. Then there's the McCullough protocol, read the paper and start to do your own research. Then you will see what might work for you. You, as in Germany, you can go to your doctor, give blood and say, I want to have this MMD test, this test in the lab. Please check spike protein, whatever. And when the results come back and he sees that you still have spike protein in your blood 2 years after the jab, he might start to think that there might be a problem, because there shouldn't be. So you might wake up your doctor by that. This doesn't mean that he will understand the problem or know how to treat you.
No, but that's the first step. If the doctor really ready to talk with you and understanding there might be a problem and helping you to figure it out. I learned to ask different questions to test if I can talk with him about different questions, different views, or no, it is like it is.
Those who didn't jab, go to them. They knew from the beginning.
Yes. And that means also go to them means maybe they're not in your town. Learn to find the expert for your life, not just who is close by. That is not the main point to make the decision. So always go, what is for my highest value? What is the best? Either really working for my best. But that is the responsibility of every individual to ask this question and really wanting it. And like I experience also a lot of people when we offered something what is really helpful and healthy. Oh, is the insurance paying it? If not, no, then I don't want it. So then
the thing is, most of the stuff will not be paid by the insurance because it's supplementaries. You have to buy them for yourself. So you can get them without problem. You don't need a doctor for that to try them.
Yes. And that is what you really need to be responsible. And then comes, okay, I don't have the money. Okay, then you're responsible also to make enough money and not be just dependent on...
Yeah, the problem is some of these people are so sick they can't make money anymore. So that's a problem.
Well, yeah, but then at least you have the responsibility to find the network. Or if I'm really sick... Okay, then you can
find a self-help group or whatever they call it in English. They normally share medications also among themselves. So for the Maraviroc therapy, a doctor last weekend told me you don't need the full package.
You find best so self-help groups or a doctor's network, like we mentioned on Telegram, but what should I look for?
In Germany, we have this MGVFD. They have a hotline. You can call them. And they can tell you who in their network is nearby you. Just talk about it with your neighbors. They maybe just wait for somebody to bring up the topic because they're afraid to do it themselves.
Sabine, thank you for today. I guess we could cover where problems are and at least give a glimpse where solutions are. We keep on sharing the message and everybody please wake up. Whatever happened, there is a future. It can be a bright future, but only if you take the responsibility for yourself. And this way, be inspired, and the best is yet to come.
Thank you for being part of our journey towards a better planet we. For more information about Winspiration and ways to connect, visit us on the UK Health Radio platform under the presenter section of Wolfgang Sonnenburg, and explore Wolfgang's YouTube channel. Be inspired.